It's a privilege and an honor to be here today and getting to speak to you. It's the last Sunday of the year, and I'm going to speak to you prophetically today about 2016. I purposely have not listened to any of the A-Life messages for over the past month because I did not want to be tainted in what I say. And Pastor Jonathan last week danced all over what I'm going to prophetically say, and so I must be hearing God. And so I'm excited about that. Just a couple of little announcements before I start. Go back to that page before that. You're jumping into my title. If you have gotten my blog before, tedforyou.com blog, the Monday blog, the enemy has really wanted to hear what I have to say. So I had 1,600 and some blacklisted users that got onto my site. So I had to throw the site away, and I had to rebuild the site and then put it in with new security protocols, which means if you used to be getting my blog, you have probably not been receiving it anymore. That's because you're not subscribed anymore. Now, to get subscribed, this is the tricky part. You have to go to the site. You have to look where it says subscribe, put your email address in, click subscribe. It will send you an email. If you did not receive an email, something's wrong, because you have to click in your email, I accept being a subscriber. Do you follow that? That's a complicated process, because you have to actually acknowledge, yes, I'm the one. That means you're not some blacklisted person who's just putting your name in there and now you're on the list. You've confirmed, I'm the one who did this. Got it? And then you'll receive it every Monday after that, okay? So out of the hundreds of people that I had before, there are not so many anymore. So go and get it again. And I promise you, I'll continue to mess you up with good thoughts. Some of you have already followed through with this. I've got 90 people on the subscriber list out of a former several hundred. So we'd like to get it back up. And then the other, yes. Then check your spam mail. If you didn't get a confirmation email, look at the heading. There's either something it said that you have to do, or you didn't get it. It went to your spam mail. If you didn't get an email, there's a problem at your end. Okay? Check it out. If you didn't get an email, that means you're not subscribed, because you have to confirm. So that's the catch. That's the catch that we've been missing. But anyway, and then a couple of other announcements is there are two new books back there, The Now Covenant and Hearing the Voice. I'm quite pleased with these. These are also going on Amazon as printed copies beginning on the 7th of January. There are ebooks online as well, but you can get your hard copies today. And we're extending the 20% off any of my stuff back there today as the last Sunday of the year, yes? They're $15, but today they're 20% off. So they're like $13 with tax, $13.20. What is it? 13-0, huh? Something like that, yeah. So anyway, go back to the table there and we'll take care of you at the end. Enough of that. Huh? Okay, so these two right here, there are several back there that you can get, but those two you can't get because those two are gone. So if you want, you either have to trade or go buy another one now to get the other one. But, so anyway. Yeah. Okay. All right. So today I'm going to talk to you about 2016. And I hear very strongly in my spirit that 2016 is a year of partnerships. Okay. Now, it's a year of partnerships, not partnerships as you would suppose. It's going to be unexpected partnerships. But it's not partnerships to see what you can get. It's partnerships to see what you can give. Because the partnerships of 2016 are not partnerships of contract. They're partnerships of covenant. Now, I've already been walking this out myself. And I go a lot of places on planet Earth. And there's one place that I go that they don't think like me. And they've asked me to be a spiritual father in their life, and I have been received apostolically with them, and they don't think like me. And I'm thinking, should I go here? They don't think like me. And every time I go, they get excited when I'm there, and they receive what I say, and then when I leave, they say things I don't say. And I go and I listen, and I think, why are they saying what I don't say? Okay, and I ministered to them, and so I gave them my best. I was with them last weekend, and I gave them a version of this word, or the weekend before last, I guess. I gave them a version of this word that I'm going to give you today. And God spoke to me as I was speaking to them. He says, I've given this church as a gift to you. I've given this church as a gift to you so that you won't have to express everything that you believe for the sake of these people that you love. And 2016 is a year of partnerships for you to become an expression of the community of God so that you can go to another level of making decisions for others based on who you are, not based on what you think they deserve. And so it's going to be a partnership of diverse understandings, a partnership that is unlikely. And the enemy is going to look and the enemy is going to say, what? This shouldn't work. You see, there are two administrations on planet Earth. There's an administration of the knowledge of good and the knowledge of evil. And that is the administration of the kingdoms of the world. All of the kingdoms of the world are kingdoms that are self-governed, and they're self-governed based upon information. I need enough information in order to make governmental decisions. Inform me. Give me enough information. And by the way, I've decided I want to be a good person. I want to live a good life and do good things. And I know what is good because I have assessed the knowledge of good, the knowledge of evil, and I've discerned what is good. Did you know that every kingdom of self is making decisions based upon what they believe is good? Even if it's most extreme, what you would call terrorists are actually making their decisions based upon what they have discerned to be good. And good is defined by the perceiver, but the problem is with a tree, a family tree of the knowledge of good and evil. When your family tree is an administration of the knowledge of good and evil, then you have to have information of good and information of evil, and you come up with conclusions of good or perceived good, and then you make decisions, and you're willing to judge others based upon what you believe. Because the administration of those kingdoms is an administration of self. It's an independent spirit, an independent theology, an independent reality. It's a disconnected reality, and it makes decisions for others based upon what you know to be good. Many years ago, in this very room, I released a prophetic word, September 24th, 2004, that there was going to be a grassroots revolution on planet Earth. And that there was going to be a restoration of the speech of the Lord, the speaking of the Lord, and the speaking of the word of the Lord. There would be a removal of the headship of promiscuity and the headship of legalism, because both promiscuity and legalism come from the same root. They are the fruit of the same tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And when I released that word September 24th, 2004, it was at 7:15 p.m. And at 7:15 p.m., the clock on the wall stopped. My watch stopped and two other watches stopped 7:15 p.m. They were all repaired the next day. That clock on the wall back here, the battery was replaced, brand new battery. Next day, all timepieces working, 9:45 a.m., the same anointing dropped into the room, and they all stopped at 9:45 a.m., all four timepieces. You go figure. And I asked God, I said, why are the timepieces stopping? 2 days in a row, four timepieces stopped on the exact same minute. At a word about a grassroots revolution. I don't know if you've ever listened to the news lately, but grassroots is probably one of the most common terms that's happened since 2004. Now, I'm not the only one that released prophetic words like that. Probably 7,000, maybe 7 million, I don't know. Thousands of people have been experiencing expressions of what does God want to do in the earth? And this is what God told me about the timepieces. He said, remember when Joshua was in the battle and he needed more time? Think about this. Joshua's in the battle. He's not in the comfort zone. He's probably got a nick off his ear, probably missing a finger, probably has a few body parts missing with the hacks of swords in his body, and he's begging God for an opportunity to risk his life for another day. And it says, and God heeded the voice. God listened to the voice of a man that day. A man who wanted to be in the battle for the sake of the next generation and risk his life for another day. God says, I like it. That's a good thought. And it wasn't the sovereign gods of heaven's idea. It was a human being's idea. And it said, God heeded the voice of Joshua that day, and he stopped time. And they defeated the battle. Now, in the battle, there were five kings of the Amorites. Amorite means bitterness. Five bitter kings that were put into a cave. And at the end of the battle, Joshua called the young men, the next generation, and he had them put their feet on the necks of those kings. And this is what God told me. God said that in this grassroots revolution, God is removing the headship of promiscuity and legalism, and he wants the next generations to possess what the previous generations could not, because the judgments of legalism and the judgments of promiscuity are both based on a bitter root, and they're found in the realm of time. You remember. You've seen. You know. I remember when. Remember when? Have you seen it? Have you heard it? Oh, I've seen this before. Well, what if this happens? All of those are statements from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the realm of time. Two administrations. So what's the second one? The second administration is an administration of the tree of life. The family tree is the tree of life. And it's the administration of the kingdom of heaven, but it's a mystery kingdom because it's an internal kingdom, not an external kingdom. It's a kingdom of the heart. It's a kingdom of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. In common English, it's a kingdom where those who are discovered the mystery of this kingdom are dependent upon a relationship with God in their hearts. Their hearts say, oh God, you're my God. They're totally dependent, not independent in the least, totally dependent upon God. They understand that paradise is a place where nothing works without God. They understand that paradise is not a place where everything is good. It's a place where everything can be bad or everything can be good, but everything will work out good because the one who loves you is here and you've cleaved onto him. It's a kingdom of righteousness, right relationship with the one who loves you. It's an internal kingdom of the heart of peace, where there's no gap between you and God, and people look at you and they say, whoa, look, that's a God person. Something's coming off of them that looks like heaven. They have a testimony of no gap between me and God. And it's an internal kingdom of joy where they know the manifest presence of tabernacling with the one who loves them. They live with him. They make decisions with him. He makes decisions with them. They live together. See, it's an internal kingdom of the heart that says, God's my God, I'm a God person, and we live together. And it's made of every tribe, tongue, people, and nation on planet Earth. It's a place of circumcision. Circumcision of the heart, not circumcision of the flesh. It's a place where former Jews and former Gentiles have discovered that they're all Gentiles without Christ. But in Christ, they've become the circumcised of heart, and they're walking with a different testimony. Now, prophetically, I'm going to decree to you that a number of years ago, God spoke to the body of Christ. And he said, arise and shine, your light has come, the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Deep darkness will be on the peoples, but the glory of the Lord will be upon you. And he spoke Isaiah chapter 60. But Isaiah chapter 60 couldn't be a reality for God's people because Isaiah chapter 61 and Isaiah chapter 62 needed to become a reality first. And so you are living in a time, I'm speaking prophetically today, by the way. You are living in a time and a season where Isaiah 61 and 62 are going to accelerate. And the partnerships that are going to take place in 2016 are going to come from the foundation of Isaiah 61 that leads to Isaiah 62. And then Isaiah 60 is finally going to become real. Because you can't arise and shine and your light come because you don't know who you are. And when God spoke to the church a number of years ago, rise and shine, your light has come. How many of you heard that word? Anybody hear that word? Some of you, a few of you. Issachar, people have heard it. Arise and shine. The problem is it's hard to arise and shine when you don't know who you are. So turn to Isaiah chapter 61, and I'm going to talk to you about these two kingdoms, the kingdoms of the world and the kingdom of God. Two administrations. You can't have both. You get to pick, which do you want? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil or the tree of life? Okay? Now, the kingdoms of the world, I'm just going to, in Isaiah 61, I'll read the first few verses and then I'll say what it doesn't say to say what it does say. And what I say, what it doesn't say, may be what you think it has said for years. So it starts out, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, that's Jubilee, and the day of vengeance of our God, that's deliverance from your enemy, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. I'm going to stop there at that, in the midst of that verse 3 for a moment. And I'm going to pick out of here the negative side to describe. This reveals to us what the kingdoms of the world look like. The kingdoms of self. If I'm an independent person, to be governed by the knowledge of good, inform me, give me enough information, I'll decide. Show me the different views, the different angles, the different information, and I'll make a decision, and I will govern my own life. I can do this. I'm going to be a good person. I'm going to live a good life, and I'm going to do good things. I'm an independent person. Okay? The result is going to be you're going to end up poor, destitute. You're going to end up with a broken heart. You're going to end up a captive in bondage. You're going to end up in prison needing freedom. You're going to end up losing your family name, your inheritance, and your destiny. You're going to end up needing deliverance from an enemy. You're going to end up in mourning. You're going to be so much in mourning, you can't even make logical decisions in the earth. You're going to end up in ashes. You're going to end up in lamentation. You're going to end up in heaviness. That's the kingdoms of the world. So if you choose, the more you pick the administration of the knowledge of good and evil, a justice system of right and wrong, you're going to discover that people are going to treat you wrong, and then you're going to have to make a judgment of, I've been treated unfairly, life sucks, I have been treated wrong, look at me, I'm poor, I'm brokenhearted, I'm a captive, I'm in prison, I'm bound, I need to have my family name, my inheritance, and my destiny restored, I'm totally in bondage, I need this liberty, I need the enemy to be defeated, I'm in mourning, I need to have clarity because I can't make clear decisions, I need to receive a freedom from these ashes that have been given to me, my goodness, my parents didn't even care, I need to be liberated from this mourning, this lamentation, and this heaviness that I live under. This is the kingdoms of the world. Now, you can pretend it's not real, but the more you embrace the knowledge of good and evil, the more you're going to end up with that testimony. Okay, now the Spirit of the Lord comes, and the Spirit of the Lord comes upon a man, Christ Jesus, which was intended to come upon all of humanity, for all human beings to say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he's anointed me to preach really good news. So I've come to bring really good news. I've come to bring not only really good news, I've come to bring healing to the brokenhearted. I've come to bring liberty. I've come to open up the prison. I've come to bring a restoration of the family name, inheritance, and destiny. I've come to bring a place of comfort. I've come to bring a consolation so you can have clarity and make good decisions. I've come to bring beauty, give you back your beauty. I've come to give you back the oil of joy. I've come to give you back your praise. Now, here's what we think these verses have said. We think that the Spirit of the Lord is upon us to bring freedom and liberty to those who ended up in a sucky situation. And we've made it, the Spirit of the Lord's upon me to set people free. But we didn't read the rest of the verses. Because God says, this is a season where you're going to have unusual partnerships because you're going to discover who you are, and you're going to find that there are people in the world that are also discovering who they are. There are people who don't even know who they are, and they're discovering who I am. And if you have an ear to hear and an eye to see, you'll make partnerships based upon who I'm making you to be, and you will be able to walk in the destiny of what I've called you to walk into. Because here it is. They shall be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. Why? So that he'll be glorified. And what will they do? They will rebuild the old ruins, raise up the former desolations, and repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. So the purpose of the Spirit of the Lord is to plant free trees that build, raise up, and make things new. Ha ha. The purpose of the anointing of the Lord is to plant free trees who build, raise up, and make things new. Okay? Now, I'm going to tell you, if you vote, we're in an election year. I'm going to use the word vote. If you vote by what your head says, or you vote by what you think your heart says, you might vote wrongly. And I'm not just talking about American elections. I'm talking about how you cast your votes in life. Okay? Now you're going to find that God's going to put you into situations and connections with people that you don't like. And the question to ask is, in your spirit, what will build, what will raise up, and what will make things new? You're looking for partnerships that will build, raise up, and make things new. You see, God isn't interested in having free people. He's interested in planting free people who build, raise up, and make things new. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, at the very end of the chapter, it talks about an unusual partnership, and these are huge words for this year because these are the secrets to the partnerships that are going to happen this year. And in 1 Corinthians 13:13, it says, "Now abide faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love." Here's a partnership. Faith, hope, and love. 2016 is going to be a year of a partnership of faith, hope, and love. Okay? But you're going to discover that you're going to have to, first of all, put your hope in the right place, because it's impossible to have faith without hope. You're going to have to find that you're going to have to put your faith in the right place, because it's impossible to demonstrate love without faith, but love is the very foundation of hope and faith. So in 1 Corinthians, when it talks about this partnership of faith, hope, and love. Now, in Hebrews chapter 11, it talks about, let's look at there. Let's go to Hebrews 11 a moment. In Hebrews chapter 11, the first three verses. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Do you see the partnership here? It's hard to have faith if you don't know what to hope for first. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence or the conviction, the evidence of things not seen. So the opposite of faith is sight, natural sight, not fear. The opposite of fear is love. Perfect love casts out all fear. See the partnership? You see, fear is not the opposite of faith. Sight is the opposite of faith. Natural sight. What does it look like? What does it sound like? What does it feel like? If you're looking at the world right now, what does it look like? What does it feel like? What does it sound like? What do you think is going to happen? You won't find correct partnerships for 2016. So you're going to have to look to the kingdom of God, an internal kingdom of righteousness, peace, and joy, to discover a partnership of faith, hope, and love, because you might have to put your faith in something you don't think you should put your faith in. This present move of God, I love it and I hate it. It's been going for 15 years. It's fantastic. It's the community of God influencing the communities of the earth. We're halfway through, and right now, if we stopped, you've heard me say this before, those of you who have heard me, If we stopped right now in this present move of God, we'd have to discern that God is the God of the people. Because he's willing to move into anybody's neighborhood. My goodness, he's got gossips being filled with the Holy Spirit. He's got mean believers being loved by God. He's got people who are not living in covenant being embraced and lavished by the goodness of God. My goodness, there are people who make judgments of others who are speaking in tongues. There are homosexuals who are speaking in tongues. My goodness, there are people with bad attitudes speaking in tongues. There are mean preachers being loved by God. It's totally crazy, isn't it? God moves into every flippin' neighborhood. And you already know which neighborhood he should move into. And he sure shouldn't move into the neighborhoods you wouldn't live in. But the problem is, we're only halfway in through a move of the spirit of knowing. We live in a generation. I'm standing in a church in the Netherlands. I'm standing in a church in the Netherlands, and they got on the screen a song teaching the kids in church a song with a rainbow with six colors. Can I tell you, the rainbow doesn't have six colors. It has seven, and the color that's missing is the color indigo, which is the sixth color of the rainbow, the spirit of knowing, and it is a sign of community. The very thing they want is not in the rainbow. We got a whole generation of kids that think the rainbow has six colors. It doesn't have six colors. It has seven. So when you put up your six-colored banner saying we believe in community, you left off the very color that stands for community. And it's okay, your heart wants community. But guess what? You can't have community without God. It's a prophetic thing. They even changed the flipping music notes on the screen of what I was watching. Instead of having five lines, they had to put six lines on the music staff to put six colors of the rainbow. We even changed the music to match what we wanted to say. I have a goal in life. One of my goals in life is to put the seventh color back in the rainbow before I leave planet Earth. Dude, I'm putting the seventh color back in the rainbow for everybody before I leave planet Earth. I got some books back there. Seven Eyes of Grace. It's not the six eyes. There's seven eyes. Okay, we got a whole society that had been taught things are true that are not true. Got crazy stuff. Okay, so partnership, faith, hope, and love. Let me just give you a word on. No, let's look at Hebrews 11 again. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. So they obtained a good testimony, the elders being the people who were in this chapter, Hebrews 11, people like Noah and Abram, who became Abraham, and other people. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Okay, look at that. See, by faith, we understand that worlds were framed. There's another thing I want to change, is the flippant translation of some words. Worlds. The word there is aeons, ages. They were prepared, the new King James says framed, prepared, framed. They weren't created, they were prepared or framed by the word of God, okay? So they were framed by the rhema of God, not the logos of God, not something that God has said, but something that God is saying. I'm going to propose to you that these aeons, these ages that were prepared or framed by God speaking are not what God did, they're what the elders did. I'm going to propose to you that they're the ages of Noah and the ages of Abram and the ages of Elijah or the ages of David or the ages of whoever. And they were framed. They were given a pile of trouble. They were given a pile of rubble. And instead of looking at the pile in front of them as a pile of rubble and trouble, they looked at it as an opportunity to frame a world based on what is God saying. and they changed their environment. They changed their world. They were able to build. They were able to raise up. They were able to make something new again. Okay, what are you going to build, raise up, and make new again this year? What are you going to build, raise up, and make new in Bellingham? What are you going to build, raise up, and make new in your family? What are you going to build, raise up, and make new in your own personal life this year? Are you going to beg for Jesus to set you free? Or are you going to realize that he set you free to plant you as a free person so that you will live in this world, build, raise up, and make things new, that you will frame a different environment? But it happens when you know where to hope and you know how to have faith because you know how to hear him. Now, you hear faith, how does faith come? Okay, say that to me in modern English. Say it to me in modern English, somebody. Faith comes by God speaking to your heart. We know the verse. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. We know the verse. We got it on the refrigerator. We can find it in Romans. I get it. But I want to know, do you know what happens when God speaks to your heart? I don't care if you can quote the book. I want to know, do you know what happens when God speaks to your heart? Not your head, your heart. Do you know what happens to your world when God speaks to your heart? That's right. That's right. Now that's good English. Okay? I'm not picking on anybody. My generation went way out of our way to make sure everybody knows the verse. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. That's the rhema word of God. I'm so spiritual using a word like rhema, although I don't realize that's just a Greek word for word, but I'm very religious and spiritual. When God speaks to the human heart, ha, something happens. Now, how does faith work? Faith works through love. What's faith toward? What's faith toward? Toward God, Pastor says. Faith is always toward a person. Faith is not toward a promise. Faith is not toward a promise because faith works through love. If you love a promise, you're in idolatry already. Faith works toward a person. Faith works toward a person. How do you know faith works toward a person? It's when the person says something you're not sure is true and you still trust them. Then you know you got faith toward somebody. Easy to have faith toward somebody when they think the way you think, but what happens when he thinks the way he thinks? You see, right now we're halfway into a move of God where we would have to say he's the God of the people. But he wants to get us to Isaiah 58 or Isaiah 62, verse 12, where we're known as the people of God. You see, he's already demonstrating, I'm willing to move into anybody's neighborhood. But the question is, are you willing to move into mine? Hey, I have no problem moving into the neighborhood of gossips. No big deal for me. I'm bigger than that. I can move into a world full of fornicators. No big deal. It's no big deal. I'm a covenant keeper. I can move into a neighborhood of adulterers or homosexuals or masochists. I can move into anybody's life. I don't have a problem. It's okay. You don't need to be like me for me to love you. But for you to love me, you're going to have to become like me. Woo! I got an idea. What if none of us are as we should be? Woo! Woo! What if the world needs to be changed by somebody that's like him? Woo! Hey, can I also tell you? See, the kingdoms of the world are still administrated by the knowledge of good and evil. They need to be. Why? The purpose of the knowledge of good and evil simply says, you ain't it, dude. You need something different. Law is a teacher that says you need grace. Conscience, the human spirit, is a teacher that says you need something more than this, dude. So in the kingdoms of the world, they need the administration of the knowledge of good and evil. Hey, by the way, when I'm electing a president, I'm not voting for Jesus. I already got the king of the kingdom of God. But when it comes to voting for a king of the kingdom of the world, I'm not looking for Jesus in the administration of the knowledge of good and evil. I'm just looking for the best Cyrus I can find. I'm looking for the best Cyrus. Who is going to be someone who maybe doesn't know God, doesn't speak God's language, doesn't even realize who he is, but he's favorable toward the cause of those who will plant, who will build, raise up, and make things new. Who's favorable to the temple of God? And I'm not talking about a thing that's built in the Middle East. I'm not talking about a temple built on a mound in the Middle East. I'm talking about the mound of humanity that's become the temple of Christ. When God sent Jesus, he wasn't thinking Christianity. He was thinking, it's time to redeem humanity, for goodness sakes. Let's put Christ in the human heart. I'm not looking to elect someone in the kingdom of the world who's a Christian. I'm looking for someone who might be smarter than a Christian. You ever seen that? Smarter than a fifth grader? I'm looking for someone who's smarter than a Christian. See, I'm not looking for somebody who just wants to make people free. Because the Spirit of the Lord is upon me not to make free people, but to see to it that free people are planted so that people will build, raise up, and make things new. Ha! Oh, Jesus loves me. He wants to heal me. Of course he wants to heal you because you should be a healer. And you know what? By the way, the calling of God in your life is not to set people free. The calling of God in your life is also to see free people planted, so that they will build. Their pile of rubble, their pile of trouble is just an opportunity for the partnership of faith, hope, and love. Okay, let me give you a verse about hope. Okay, let me give you, because you got to know where to put your hope. In Proverbs 13:12, it says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. Hope delayed makes the heart sick, right? But when desire comes, it's the tree of life. Psalms 130 verse 7 says, O Israel, by the way, O Israel is Prince of God. It's not a particular race of people. Abraham's the father of all nations, many nations. Israel is the Prince of God, made of every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. It has never been a natural nation. Never has it ever been. By the way, you might label me as a replacement theologian. Do you believe the church replaces Israel? Absolutely not. Therefore, I believe that nothing could ever replace Israel being a spiritual entity born of God. Something that didn't come off the boat of Noah. But a race of people that were born by hearing the voice of the one who loves them and having faith toward him. So, O Israel, it says, hope in the Lord. Woo! For with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is abundant redemption. How many of you have ever needed mercy? That means you live in a world of law. I need mercy. It's new every day. Thank you, Jesus. How many of you have ever needed redemption? Okay, that means you screwed up the last one. Now you get to try again, all right? So you needed redemption. That's an act of grace. Mercy is an act of forgiveness, and redemption is a testimony of grace. One is clears the past. The other is create a new future. Mercy clears the past. Redemption gives you a new future. Mercy ends law, gives you a right now to have grace that creates a new world. Okay, now, I'm not. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, anointing me to preach good news to the poor. Hey, what's the good news? I don't have to remain in my poverty. And by the way, there are more. A lot of poor people are really very rich. I saw an individual the other day. He was looking for help because he was homeless. But I discovered he wasn't homeless. He was a person who decided not to have a home. Because there are homeless people, but then there are people who've decided not to have a home and make it everybody else's problem, so they're rich in their poverty. They're comfortable with not having anything. They're rich with not having anything. They want to be homeless. They're not interested in being part of anything that's purpose. They're not interested in building, raising up, or making things new. They're too rich. They want the anointing to be on you to set them free. Because they're too rich. They don't know how to be people of God, so they're constantly dependent upon a God of the people. Ooh, that's a good one. Ooh, there's something in me that doesn't know how to be a people of God, and therefore I've been dependent upon the God of the people, but I want to learn to be a people of God. So I'm looking. Who can I partner with? Who's a people of God and they don't even know it? And they might use words I don't like. They might have been, I'm baptizing the table. Okay, so now God gives, if I hope in God, he gives abundant mercy, he gives passionate mercy, he gives abundant redemptions, right? Or abundant mercy, passionate redemption. Okay, now, if I hope in things, I promise you, if your hope is in a promise, you've set yourself up already. I like the prophets because the prophets, when they were asked in situations what they saw, they answered prophetically. They answered based upon things you couldn't see, hear, or think. So, example, you know, Jeremiah, he's at a point when they're about to go to captivity for 70 years. It's about to be the bleak of the bleak. Winter's about to set in for Israel for 70 years. And winter's about to lock in for 70 years for Israel. And God says to Jeremiah, "Jeremiah, what do you see?" And he said, "Oh, I see an almond bud." When you couldn't see an almond bud, there wasn't any almond bud to see. 70 years of winter, he sees an almond bud. Now, Amos, he's the one I like. Here's Amos. Amos, he's not even supposed to be a prophet. Okay? But he ends up being a prophet, and they come to Amos. Everything's crooked. Everything's wrong. Concerning the knowledge of good and evil, everybody's evil. Nobody's following the law. Everything's crooked. Everything's wrong. Everything's wicked. What do you think of that day? Have you been there? Maybe you think that's America. I don't know. Everything's crooked. Everything's wrong. Everything's wrong. Well, goodness, they elected the wrong people. Going to elect the wrong people again. Oh, my goodness. Everything's wrong. Everything's crooked. Everything's bad. Everything's crooked. Oh, nobody's good. What do you do? Spirit of God comes to you and says, "What do you see?" Will you answer like Amos? Amos said this. "Ha! I see a plumb line." Okay, now, a lot of you aren't construction people, so you don't have a clue. What in the world is that? Is that something with Christmas pudding? Plumb line? What is that? You know, what's a plumb line? Okay. Plumb line is if I have a string, let's say I want to put a mark on the floor exactly on the edge of that light right there. I have a string, and I tie it, I put it up against the edge of that light, and it has a weight on the bottom of it called a bob. Plumb line, and the bob is at the end. It's like bob, puts everything right straight on track. And if you hang Bob from the ceiling, And you get Bob just so he hovers. You let Bob hover just over the floor. Don't let Bob touch the floor. Just let Bob does good when he hovers. Just let Bob hover right there. And you put the string up here. The string is right exactly where you want the mark. So we'll say heaven, string's in heaven, Bob's on the earth. But Bob's not of the earth. He's hovering over the earth. String in heaven, Bob on the earth, Bob's hovering, and Bob just settles right, and it points exactly on the ground in the exact same place as it is in heaven. So in a time when everything is crooked, God says to Amos, Amos, what do you see? He says, I see a plumb line. I see a Bob, for goodness sake, and he's hovering. Hey, nothing's impossible. Everything's going to be all right. Why? You can make it straight. As it is in heaven. Plumb line. Now, Amos 5, you'll have to read the chapter, but it basically says this. It says, don't seek Bethel. In English, don't seek the house of God. Don't seek the house of God. Don't seek Gilgal. That's the place of the rolling away. Your reproach, your healing, your deliverance. Don't seek the house of God. Don't seek your healing, your deliverance. Don't seek Beersheba, the place of promise, the seven wells, the seven oaths, your promise, your personal promise from God. Don't seek the house of God. Don't seek your healing or deliverance. Don't seek your personal promise, because if you seek these things, it will become wormwood, bitterness. So what does Amos say? The guy who sees a plumb line says, no, no, no. Seek God and live. Seek me and live, God says. Put your hope in me. Seek me and live. Don't seek the house of God. Some of you have been seeking the house of God. You've tried 50. Still haven't figured it out. If you tried 2, you should have figured it out the first time. You are the house of God. Did you know we don't have a structure problem? There are no structure problems on planet Earth. There are no structure problems. You don't have a structure problem. It's, oh, this church is too big. Oh, that church is too small. No, there's no structure problem, only a culture problem. Did you know that every broken relationship was not a structure problem? It's a culture problem. Put the culture of the kingdom of God in it and you'll change it. Like Pastor Jonathan says, he went to jobs, the jobs that he worked at, there was nobody nice there. But he was there. I've often said it. If you're at work and you say, this is a terrible job, nobody's nice there. And I always say, well, I thought you worked there. This is your opportunity to change the environment. Okay, so you seek God and live. Don't seek the house of God. Don't seek your healing. I know people who sought healing and healing didn't happen for someone that they loved, and they haven't darkened the door of a church since. Because they sought healing and healing didn't happen the way they thought. Can I tell you this? Everybody that Jesus healed died. It's a bummer. I thought it worked. Everybody raised from the dead died again. For goodness sakes, what world was with that? I mean, Lazarus, anybody seen him? I mean, he'd be talking if he was around here. So everybody that he got healed, you know. I've been healed of stuff, and then stuff came back again. You ever had that happen? Yeah. You know? So you don't put your hope in your healing. You don't put your hope in the promise. How many of you have had a promise from God, and it came about exactly the way you thought it was going to happen? Anybody? How many of you got a promise from God and it came about totally different than you thought? You see, if you put your hope in the promise, you might even miss the fact the promise came to pass. So what does he say? He says, hope in God, seek me and live. And then I like it. In Amos 5, you have to read it, but it's basically paraphrases this. When everything is crooked and everything's bad, it says the prudent man keeps silent. I'll say it this way. When everything is crooked, everything is bad, those with common sense shut up. And then what do? They become innocent to evil and wise to good. Pastor Jonathan, I release that grace to you that was on me to be stupid to evil and wise to good. When people come and see everything is wrong, I release an anointing for you to see the almond bud. You see the plumb line, to see the life of God. You'll be stupid as a rock to things that are wrong, and you'll be wise as a scrutinous inspector to everything that's good. Ralph, watch and see, because this year the assignments of heaven are going to outweigh the assignments of hell. Oh, the assignments of heaven are going to outweigh the assignments of hell. And God says, I'm opening your eyes to see things you've never seen before, and you're going to see the assignments of heaven. Oh, arising. And the assignments of heaven are outweighing the assignments of hell. And it won't be an opposition to the things that the enemy is doing much longer. It'll be a proposition to the things that God has decreed. And I'm going to put my people in strategic places to bring forth my strategic graces, because the assignments of heaven are alive and well on planet Earth. So those with common sense shut up when everything looks bad, and they seek God and live. They seek God. They're innocent to evil and wise to good. Why? Because they're putting their hope in the one who is the one who you can hope in. Okay, let me explain why. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. That's just Greek for the first letter and the last letter. He's the beginning and the end. He's the first and the last. Did you know that he doesn't need a beginning? He never has. He doesn't have a beginning. He doesn't have an ending. When he was born in Bethlehem, that wasn't his beginning. It might have been a beginning, but it wasn't the biggest. Eternity is not a place that goes forever. It's a place that has no beginning and no end. Think about that a moment. Tap into that one. Hey, I got news for you. God says, I'm going to give you an opportunity. Do you need a beginning? I'm going to give you an opportunity to hope in the one who has no beginning. Do you need an ending? I'm going to give you an opportunity to hope in the one who has no ending. Therefore, he would need a beginning. He can give you one. If you need an ending, he can give you one, because all beginnings and endings come from him, because he has no beginning and he has no ending. How many of you discovered when you thought you needed an ending, you really needed a beginning? How many of you found out when you thought you needed a beginning, you needed a flipping ending, for goodness sake? See, you don't know what you need. You don't know whether you need a beginning or an ending. So don't put your hopes in beginnings and endings. Put your hope in the one who gives beginnings and endings. Otherwise, your hope will be delayed and your heart will get sick. But if you put your hope in the one who gives abundant mercies and passionate pardon, redemption, put your hope in him, then you can put your faith in him. Faith comes by hearing the one who speaks to you, but it works through love. If you don't know he loves you, it won't matter what he says, you won't understand. If you don't know he loves you, you won't hear what he's saying. Or you'll hear the words, but you won't know the language. So there's a partnership of faith, hope, and love. Watch and see. God is going to release such a grace of his love in this season, unsurpassed by any previous season. He's going to reveal his love. He's already showing up in the most unlikely places, and he's showing that he wants to move into every neighborhood on planet Earth, because he wants every neighborhood of planet Earth to move into heaven's reality. He wants every neighborhood to move into his reality. But if you move into his reality, then you're going to be a different kind of people. Because if you move into his reality, then you're going to be a people who will build, raise up, and make things new. You'll be a people of blessing, a people of multiplication, a people of possessing. You'll be a people of partnership, a partnership with God, a partnership with one another, where faith, hope, and love, realities of community and community only. Because faith is toward a person, love comes from a person, and hope is in a person. Whoa. Did you hear that? Faith comes from a person. It's in a person. Love comes from a person. Hope is in a person. Hope is not in anything. Hope is not in anything. Faith is not for anything. Love is not for anything. Whoa. Hope is a person. Faith is a person. Love is a person. And God's going to bring this into the community of heaven on earth to touch the communities of the world. You are going to be a people of love. You're going to be a people of hope. You're going to be a people of faith. You're going to be a people that you can depend upon you, because you will make decisions for others based upon who you are, not what they deserve. And people who disagree with you, God will say, I've given these people as a gift to you. What in you thinks expressing what you believe is more important than protecting the ones you love? That's going to change. Speaking of myself, too, I don't like it. I love it, don't like it. Now, I find that my most, you know what? Let me give you a difference between mercy and grace. I'm almost done. If I say to you, listen, you got to love me. You can't make judgments of me. You got to love me. It's about grace. You know what I am? I'm a man of law. You can make judgments of me. You can say, you can do anything you want. It's okay. But I'm going to make a judgment of you based on who I am, not what you think I am. We despised him and he didn't become despised. We shamed him. He didn't become shamed. We offended him. He didn't take offense. We hated him. He didn't become hate. Did you know you're supposed to be lied about? You're supposed to be misunderstood. It's called the tree of life. How do you know you're in the tree of life unless you're confronted with the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for goodness sakes? They're supposed to misunderstand you. How can you be real? You're supposed to be unforgiven. How can you be forgiveness unless you come face to face with what you're not? It's called scourging. God loves you. It's not fair. It's ridiculous. It's scandalous. It's outrageous. It's crazy. Hey, life is not fair. Figure it out. Oh, life's not fair. I'm 60. Hey, life's not fair. Look at this. Life's not fair. Look at this. I got more hair than my son. That's not fair. But he says all the things I wanted to say and nobody believed me. And that's not fair. They believe him. Okay. All right, I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to turn it back to Pastor. I don't know if you noticed. I said I'm going to pray for you, and then I'm going to turn it back to Pastor. I said that on purpose. Because he's my pastor. And it's not based on the fact that he has more experience than me. He just has more of the word of the Lord than me. In the context of being pastor of this house. Why? It's not fair. Why? God picked him. That's not fair. And the more I receive him for who he is, the more I receive who he is, not what I think he is. So I'm challenging you as a house. I'm challenging you to see things that God sees. Don't see things that you see. And then you'll receive what God sees. Challenging you to know less, not more. Now, I've made a statement, and I've walked this out for over 5 years. 5 years. 5 years ago, January 1st, we moved offices. 5 years ago, April, we transitioned, and I've been in this house, and I've had a theory, and you can ask Dr. Bob. I've said to my friends, if we like it immediately, it means it's old. And I've said that to my friends with white hair in their face. If you like it immediately, it means it's old. You need to be willing to like some things that you don't think you like. And I've taken that stand and I've walked that out, and I'm going to continue to walk that out. The grace of God is on me to walk it out. And I still have that conclusion. If I like it immediately, it means it's old. But now, because I have that, I've got some credentials, so I'm going to talk to you as a younger house now. And I'm going to challenge you to say, if you like it immediately, it means it's young. And it's not ancient. And so now I'm asking for the family of God to be willing to embrace things you don't like for the sake of things that are a partnership of things that are new and things that are old. Things that are old and things that are new, because it's in the place of partnership, in the place of faith, hope, and love, where all things are made. And it's in that place where there will be a building, there will be a raising up, and there will be a making of things new. And it will be a restoration of the desolation of many generations. So, Father, I ask for the grace of what you're doing in 2016. I ask for this partnership. Oh, God, don't let my head know more than my heart. And let my heart be willing to receive all that you have concerning faith, hope, and love. Thank you that you love me. Thank you, God, that I was born to be loved by you. I wasn't born to worship you, for goodness sakes. I was born to be loved by you. Having been loved by you, I can't help but worship you. But God, I wasn't just born to be loved by you. I was born again to become like you. Huh. I was born again to love like you love, to have faith like you have faith, to hope like you hope. So let there be a partnership this year that grows in the nations, that grow in this church, a life community. Let this be a life community. Let it be a life community. Let it be a life community. And would you cause these people to be anointed, not only to free people, but to plant free people, so that this city does become a city of hope, or the city does manifest the city of hope that it is, and that from hope, there's a hearing of your voice, because there's a revelation of your love, and from the revelation of your love and the hearing of your voice, there will be a changed world, changed environments, changed realities. And things will be built, raised up, and made new. Because hope won't be delayed. And faith will be strong enough to move every religious stronghold, every mountain. And piles of rubble, piles of trouble will become framing material for a world of destiny. And there'll be partnerships. Unusual partnerships, partnerships that are not based upon contracts, not based upon getting, not based upon receiving, but based upon the fact that we have received and therefore anointed to give, to create, to imagine. There will be a transformation that comes because the people of God, the redeemed of God, are being revealed on planet Earth. Amen. Amen. Take advantage of my books. They're 20% off today. We'll meet you back there at the table. And don't forget to subscribe to TedForYou.com, and maybe you can read tomorrow's and understand something of what I said today.